We're
But
gonna.
I'm really hate to kind of like take you back, but I know Brother Oscar wasn't there.
Where that's exact. I listened to the when the last time we were all together. We want to talk about losing your soul, right? Is that what you? That's what I was.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
I remember. So yeah, we are. We're going to look at that a little bit longer and stronger today. I looked at it a little bit this morning before I came, and just I'm not sure if I was giving bad information or if I was just not translating my thoughts into the right words. It probably revolves around what we consider your soul. And can you be saved, give your life to the Lord, and still have parts of you, including your will, your emotions, and your desires, that cannot put on immortality? That's the way that I was looking at it. And I looked back at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all said things like, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses, suffers the loss of his soul? So we all agreed that we better wait until Oscar came back to put a little, a little spin on that that we can all swallow. Yeah, because that would probably be truth.
Well, we're gonna open up in prayer before we get started.
That'd probably be a good idea.
Let's do that.
Amen.
Either one of you guys feel like praying, you can even pray in your native language if you wish. Justin?
Na minha sprawozdanie, przyjmijmy
Hallelujah.
tylko kondygnacje,
Hallelujah,
reka amahoro atandukanye n'ay'abantu ari yaganze ahantu ndetse no muri ino nyubako n'abayizamo bose bakomeze babona ubwiza bwawe mu izina ryawe Yesu. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, now let's phrase the question and then we'll try to go from there.
And I kind of popped this on Oscar this
So if
morning.
you guys had a, if the question came from you guys, whatever it was, just bring it out again so it gets on the CD here.
Give the ask the question again about what you really want to know.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of don't remember exactly where we were. I know that we had this subject, but I can't really point to where we were exactly talking about.
It was in the
unfortunately.
Corinthians.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about somewhere in Corinthians, we got kind of involved in mortality cannot put on immortality, and it's born in corruption, but it rises in incorruption,
right.
and those kinds of things.
Right.
And that's where my misconception came. What will survive? What will go on into perfection? And what will, what will we put on when we put on incorruption? Because we are all.
Okay, well, when God created man, he said, let us make man our own image and our own likeness. And it talks about him becoming a living soul. Okay. Doesn't say a living spirit. It says a living soul. Now, some people might disagree with what I'm going to say here. I don't know. And I'm sure there'll be somebody out there on the internet that'll disagree with it. But when God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul, then I think there's a little bit of a misconception sometimes as to what man actually is. Now, I believe that the spirit that's in man, the actual spirit that's in man, the spirit itself, is the very life of God.
Okay.
Okay. And when God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul, that breath of, that he breathed into him is the very spirit of God that's inside of man.
Okay.
Now, this is just my take on it. Now, like I say, if you can't understand that or don't agree with it, that's okay. It, just put it on this. I won't tell you put it on the shelf, but just let it go then.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. What is there? Is that the spirit of God that makes us look like God, or maybe the external count as well?
Our very life that we have, the life that we have, mm-hmm. I believe is of God. It is the spirit of God. It quickens us. If it didn't quicken us, we would fall over and die, you know, and turn back into basically a lump of dirt on eventually, because our body would rot away and everything. Now this is just, like I say, this is my take on this, you know, and you don't have to necessarily agree with it or not. Mm-hmm. But what I feel like let's see if I can explain this in such a way that it'll make sense. When God said, let us create man in our own image and our own likeness, let him have dominion, okay? And in the first part of Genesis, and when it's talking about God there, it's the word Elohim. And it's a plural word. It's not a singular word, okay? And all of the names of God in Scripture are different Hebrew, also a lot of them are different Hebrew names, you know. And what it was is, the reason that there was used different names was because it was depicting a different nature of God at that moment. Okay. Now, I believe, personally, I believe this, that Elohim is a plural word. It's not singular, you know. And if you read Psalm 82, it talks about, and I mean, I'm going to have to almost preach you a whole sermon here on this thing.
It's all right.
But let's go to Psalm 82. Just turn over to Psalm 82, if you will. And let's go to that. Let's see here. 82. I'm just going to use this thing because it's a little... okay.
Psalm 82.
Okay, here's what it says. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Okay, now, when it says God, it's the word Elohim there. Elohim stands in the congregation of the mighty, and he judges among the word gods there is the word Elohim also. He judges among Elohim. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Okay. Defend the poor, the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. You know not, neither will you understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now that's what's going on in the world right now. Okay, I have said, ye are gods. That's the word Elohim again. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. And the Most High is El Elyon, possessor of heaven and earth. That's what the Hebrew name there is. Most High is, you know, it's talking about El Elyon. But you shall die like men, like Adam, and shall fall like one of the princes. Now listen to this. Arise, O God, Elohim, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Okay? Now, there's a portion of Scripture says where it says, know you not that the saints will judge the world. You know, now everybody's looking for the white throne judgment thing to happen someday, like, you know, talks about in Revelation to a certain extent. They're looking for that. But this is, but that other portion of scripture says the saints will judge the world. Okay, now you guys have talked about judgment, okay? But when the saints will judge the world is when they have come to the realization of who and what they are in Christ. The saints will judge the world when they come to the realization of who and what they are in Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, like I say, this is going to be a lot. This will be a little bit heavy what we're talking about here. But anyway, when you realize that you are, all of Christians are considered to be the body of Christ. You've heard that before, right? I mean, we've all heard that term.
Yes.
That Christians are the body of Christ. Is that right?
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. If we are the body of Christ, where does he appear? Where do you appear?
Well, in us.
You appear in your body. You're in your body all the time. If you come out of your body, guess what? It's dead. If the life in you comes out of that body, it dies. Okay? So when you come to realize that we are part of God in that sense, you know, we are part of God in that sense. We're Elohim. They said to Jesus one time, and I don't know exactly where the scripture is. I can look it up, though, if you want to write it down or whatever. They said to Jesus one time, they got on him, and they said, and I'm paraphrasing this, they said, you know, you get on me because I have said I'm the Son of God. And they said, well, you make yourself like God. And he said, doesn't your own scriptures say that I have said ye are gods to whom the word of God came? Okay. This is Jesus. This is a quote from Jesus. And he was referring to, I honestly believe, Psalm 82. Mm-hmm. Now, when Jesus came, he everything that he did was right in the scriptures. Everything he said just about was right in the scriptures, but he just unfolded it, what it actually meant. And it still was in parables and stuff and things like that. But he told the disciples, he said, I've spoken to you in parables. He said, but it's given to you to understand about the kingdom of God. You know what I mean? So Christian people should be able to understand these things, you know, because the Spirit of God that's inside of you came to lead and guide you into all truth. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's the Spirit of truth. But what did Jesus say he was? I am the what? The way, the what?
The life.
The truth and the life. So if that Spirit of truth came into you, and when you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you gave your life to the Lord, you committed your life to the Lord, what you more or less did was you said, Lord, come into my life. Well, he's already in there. But there's not been a recognition of him being in there. He is your very life. Amen. And if his Spirit came out of you, see, a lot of people want, I've preached this over years and years and years in teaching in Sunday school when I taught a lot and stuff. In Ephesians, it talks about, well, let's read it. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Let's read that real quick, okay?
Ephesians,
the fourth chapter. Okay. Let's go back and get that. Ephesians, fourth chapter. Okay. Let's just read a few of the verses down through it. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. Mm. You know what a vocation is?
Calling.
That's your job. Okay. You know, your vocation is your work, what you do. Okay. You know. Okay. It says that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, mm-hmm. with all lowliness and meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now here's where the important parts start to come in. Endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. Okay? Now, how do you keep the unity of the spirit, the oneness of the spirit? That's basically what the word unity means there. Mm-hmm. How do you keep the unity of the spirit? By following the leading of the Holy Spirit, by doing what you feel like the Holy Spirit bids you to do each and every day. See, that's how you keep that oneness. Now listen to this. Here's what he said. There is one body.
Amen.
Okay, one body. Mm-hmm. One spirit. Amen. How many spirits?
One.
How many spirits?
One.
Do you ever say my spirit and God's spirit? No. And try to make it two? There's one.
Okay.
Only one. Okay? There's one spirit, even as you are called in the hope of your calling. One Lord.
Amen.
One faith. One baptism. One God. Mm-hmm. And Father of all. Who is above all,
Amen.
Through all, and in you all.
Amen.
Okay? I mean, that's pretty plain.
That is.
You know? Now, let's just look at that again.
Yes.
One God.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about the Trinity.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, a lot of people try to break God into three different people.
That's right.
Let's say, I'll call it people because it's not people anyway.
Exactly.
Three different things.
Persons.
Now, the way the Lord showed that to me years ago is there's one God.
Amen.
There's only one God.
Amen.
There's not two. There's not three.
Yes.
There's one.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Now, here's the way the Lord showed that to me. When I come in here and start talking to you guys, I'm Brother Oscar.
Yes.
It's me. Brother
yes.
Oscar. I go out there and start talking to my wife. I'm Junior Honey to her. That's what she calls me, Junior
right.
Honey.
Okay.
Still Brother Oscar, but right. I'm Junior Honey.
Exactly.
I go to my job, let's say, or my let's say my son, Mark, calls me on the phone. All of a sudden he says, "Hello, Dad, what are you doing?" I become Dad. But it's still just me.
And no.
It's me, see. That's the way it is with God.
Yes.
He is Father.
Yes.
He is Son.
Mm-hmm.
He is Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He's all of those things, but it's only God. There's only one God.
Exactly.
See?
Exactly.
He's all of those things.
Yes.
The names in the Old Testament,
yes.
Sometime I'll have to give you guys a list of the name, a lot of the name, the Hebrew names in the Old Testament
mm-hmm.
of God. There was El Elyon, which is Most High God. There was El Shaddai, which was basically the irresistible nature of God. El Shaddai is the love nature of God. Anybody who had any kind of contact with God
yeah.
in the nature of El Shaddai
yes.
had their name changed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Name is synonymous with nature. You know, if I say to you, Robert, because you know Robert right away, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, because you know his nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know who he is. You know what he does. You know how he talks. You know all those things. And if I say to them guys, Sean, they know Sean. They know who you are. You know, see, name is synonymous with nature. And in Scripture, you have to, it's always good, and I'm going to say that it's always good when you study, to find out what the meaning of the person's name is in Scripture. Because a lot of times, that will show you their whole nature. And God even changed some of them's name. He surnamed some of them. And why did he do that? Because he was going to change their nature and their character. Now, Peter's name was Simon.
Right.
And they called him Simon Bar-Jonah. That was Peter's name. Simon means hearing.
Means what?
Means hearing.
Oh.
Now, what happened when Jesus met him, he changed his name to Peter.
Exactly.
And Peter meant a rock.
Okay.
And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And what was the rock he was talking about? The Catholics try to say, well, that's because Peter was the first pope and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
But that isn't it. When Jesus asked them, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter says, "Well, Lord, some men say that you're Elijah, and some say you're this, and some say you're, you know, all these different things." He said, "But who do you say I am?" He asked Peter. And Peter said, "I say that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus say to him? "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, Peter. But my Father," you know, the Holy Spirit is basically what he was saying, the Spirit of God. Now, he started calling him Peter. Upon that rock right there, that he was the Son of God, was where he was going to build his church.
Right.
Okay. Let's fast forward up into the New Testament a little bit and get up into Romans the 8th chapter. "For all creation groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God." Not son of God, sons. More than one. What is the definition of a son of God? Okay, in Romans the 8th chapter is, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Okay? So, Jesus was the, it tells you in Romans the 8th chapter, Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren.
Yeah.
Okay? Hello, many brethren. When you were born again, you were born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and the only thing that that seed can produce in you as it comes to the fullness is the Son of God. Because each seed is after its own kind. You guys were farmers, I hear, in Africa.
Right, right.
Okay, you know when you put a seed of corn in the ground, guess what you got?
Many.
A stalk of corn, lots of corn. When the seed of the Word of God came inside of you, what can it produce? It can't produce nothing but God. That's all it can produce. It has. I mean, each seed is after its own kind. It can't produce something else. Okay. So we'll full circle back around here. What I'm doing here is I'm telling you a vast thing here, pretty much. But anyway, in getting back to the Spirit, we found out there's only one Spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the definition that I have for soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Okay. The word soul is the word psuche. In the New Testament, it's the word psuche. And the word for God, for the Spirit of God is the word pneuma. Mm-hmm. You know, psuche is a feminine word. Okay. And it's kind of funny that it's kind of the gender of it is a feminine word, because if you take and break that word into two phrases, it's Sue and Kay. Those are girls' names. Okay. Now, we're getting invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I know you've heard that in Christianity, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Who's the bride?
The girl.
The church. That's right, the church. But also, God has some people in the church who are going to grow up into the fullness of what we read back there in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And if you go on and read there, it says we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Mm-hmm. And it talks about until we come to the unity of the faith. Mm-hmm. Unto a really mature man. And that really mature man is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, if what is the measure and the stature of the fullness of something?
It's it.
It's it. That's what it is. I mean, if I took this cup here and I said, okay, what's the measure of and the fullness of that cup? I would have to pour coffee in that thing and pour it all the way up to the top, and then that would be a full cup of coffee. We call a full cup of coffee when it's way down low because we can't handle it when we pick it up. It spills on us and burns us and
right.
stuff. But the real fullness of that would be filling it all the way to the top.
Now what I'm doing here, and I'm giving you a whole bunch of sermons rolled into one.
Wow.
What was the first miracle that Jesus did?
Turning water into wine.
Right. Where was it at? The marriage feast. Okay. To understand what something's happening in other places of Scripture, you got to go back and look in other places of Scripture and find out what it's talking about. When he talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb, you got to go back and look at the marriage supper that Jesus attended, that it was his first miracle. What was his first miracle? It was that his mother told him they have no wine. They ran out of wine. And he said to her, "Woman, what is that to me?" And what did she say? She didn't say, "Well, I want you to do this or I want you to do that." She talked to the servants. And she says, "Whatever he bids you do, you go and do it quickly." Basically is what she said.
Right.
And what did he tell them to do? He said, there was six water pots there. Six water pots.
Yes.
Six is the number for man.
Exactly.
Man was created on the sixth day.
Yeah.
Six is the number for Satan. It's a number for a lot of other things too. Okay. But six is a number for man. That's when man was created. Okay. So there's six water pots there. So what's he telling them to do? He says, fill the water pots with water to the what?
The brim.
To the brim. What's the brim?
The very top.
Ready to run over.
Right.
Okay. When he met the woman at the well up in the New Testament, you know.
Yeah.
And he told her, "Woman, give me a drink."
Yes.
She said, how can you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, which they were at odds with each other? You know, the Jews and the Samaritans. Said, how can you, being a Jew, ask me to give you water? You know, and she basically began to kind of get on him a little bit.
Yeah.
And he said to her, the water that I'll give you will be water springing up into eternal life. Basically, what he was saying is, I'm going to fill you to the brim. You know, is what he was really going to say. And what is water a type of in Scripture? Do you know what water is significant of it in Scripture?
It's life.
The water of the washing of the Word. Word of God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what the water is.
That's right.
So when you see water in there in Scripture, and you see abundance of water, it's tending to talk about the Word of God.
Okay.
He says, I'm giving you a lot of sermons here, all one rolled into one. But when he says that out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, basically is what he's saying. Well, okay, that's talking about literally the Spirit of God, the Word of God. You know, it all wraps into one thing. It's all one thing. It's not a bunch of different things. It's all one. You know. Scripture says he'll honor his what word above what? You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Above his name. He'll honor his word above his name. We know that there's no other power given in any other name other than the name of Jesus. We know that. So if he'll honor his word above his name, then his word is very important. And that's why what he did, he never broke any of the Scriptures. He fulfilled a lot of the Scriptures. See? Like I say, this is kind of vast. I hope you can grab a hold of a lot of these things I'm telling you here today. But anyway, going on a little bit farther, when we were talking about the spirit and the difference between the spirit and the soul, it talks about, you know, you losing your soul. And your soul is your consciousness. It is what makes you the distinct individual that you are, okay? You know, each person has a distinct personality. Different than somebody else, okay? The soul in you is what makes you be that distinct personality. It's your thoughts, your intentions, it's your thoughts, your intentions, your purposes, all of those kind of things rolled into one person, okay? and makes you a distinct individual. But the real life of you is the Spirit of God inside of you that's quickening your body, you know. And the reason of what, well, I don't know how to put this, I'll see how I can put this. When in the garden, when Eve, which don't get me wrong when I say this, Eve was a woman, right?
Yeah.
Women are considered to be more soulish than men. They have emotions. They're more in touch with their emotions. We're real analytical. We analyze everything, and you know all this. And women deal more with the thoughts of their heart and their emotions and things like that. And what you'll find out with the further you go in the Lord, you'll get more emotional as you go.
You get
more emotional. You know, a lot of times when I'm up there speaking, if you'll notice, sometimes I start crying.
Yes. Sometimes
and I'm a pretty tough guy. You know, I'm not. It's not that I'm not a tough guy.
Okay.
But I'm just telling you that the Spirit of God inside of me has broken a lot of things down in me. And I'm more in touch with my emotions than I used to be as a. I mean, I can cut my hand, about half cut it off, and I won't cry. I'll wrap something around and go to the hospital and get it taken care of. And I about cut it off a couple of times working in a machine shop years ago. And stuff like that. But the thing about it is, like I say, you become more in touch with your emotions as you go on with the Lord. And what it is that He makes you softer and tender and more, you know, when Jesus, now we know that Jesus was the perfect man. Mm-hmm. He was the perfect man. He was the fulfillment of what God said in Genesis about, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness and let him have dominion. If you read in Hebrews, you'll find that he was the express image of God. And if something is the express image, it is the image.
Amen.
God is spirit, so you can't see him in the natural. You know, you can't. He's like the wind. And part of the things when it talks about the Spirit of God, it's a word that means like it actually has the meaning of like wind almost. You know, well. You don't see the wind, but what you see is the results of the wind.
Exactly.
When you watch a tree and you see the leaves start flipping around, you're not seeing the wind, but you're seeing the results of what the wind's doing to the leaves. And when you walk outside and you feel it blow against your face, you're feeling the wind, you know. And when the scripture said back years ago, you know, I mean, back in the New Testament, when it says, no man has seen God at any time,
yes.
But Jesus declared him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jesus had the Spirit without measure. He had the fullness of the Spirit of God. Okay. That's why when he could say, I've come in my Father's name, nature, character, all that stuff, he came in his Father's name. All right, so when we talk about the soul, like I say, I believe sometimes your soul can be lost in the sense that it's your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions.
If you suppress it, if you suppress your emotion and the will, you can lose what is right and wrong, right?
Right. Let me put it to you like this.
Yeah.
When it says, I'm trying to think how to put this. When it's talking about your soul, okay. There's a scripture, and I'm trying to think of where it's at, and I'd almost have to go in here and ask it where it's at. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the scripture where he talks about people being overtaken in a fault. And I'm not talking about Galatians, but I'm talking about another scripture. I think it's in Corinthians, where he talks about turn them over to the spirit of the flesh. You know,
yeah.
He said, he talks about the wood, hay, and stubble in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the wood, hay, and stubble is things that aren't eternal. Mm-hmm. They can be burned up. He said, only that which is precious can remain. There's only really one thing in you that's precious.
Ooh.
And that's the Spirit of God. He is the precious thing. But when your soul comes to the marriage supper of the Lamb, to the marriage feast of the Lamb, and you become married to Jesus, okay, that's what really happens. You become married to God, then you have a name change. In the natural, I guess you guys did this in Africa, I'm not real sure, but in the United States most of the time, it's like when Mike and Kathy got married, Kathy took Mike's last name.
Okay.
You know, and that's the way that works.
Right.
Your name before was Wellman.
Mm-hmm.
When she married Mike, it became Metz.
Okay.
Now she's Kathy Metz.
Yeah.
All right. When she became Kathy Metz, mm-hmm. what she inherited with that name, and Mike vice versa with her, was the checkbook. Everything he owned, all of a sudden, she owned it too. Now, I know sometimes in Africa that doesn't work like that.
Yes.
But that's that. The things of the natural declare the things of the Spirit.
Okay.
And that's the way it works here in the United States. You know, so she inherited his checkbook. He really inherited her checkbook. Maybe she had more money than he did. I don't know. But anyway, the two of them came together and they became one.
Yes.
And when they became one, then everything that belonged to him belonged to her. Everything that belonged to her belonged to him.
Yes.
So when you become one with the Lord,
yeah.
everything that you have an inheritance in him, everything, that's why he said, these works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these.
Mm-hmm.
See? And the reason he's saying there's greater works is because it's a many-membered body.
That's what I was
It was one
ask.
Person before. Now it's not one person. It's maybe millions of people or however many people.
But
the problem is this. Yeah. We haven't come to the fullness of the reality of this thing mm-hmm. yet, okay?
Yeah.
And that's why in Romans the 8th chapter, if you read that real carefully, and I'd read that over and over and over until it sinks in on you.
Yeah.
If you read that and you would realize that what it's saying there, all creation was made subject to vanity. And that means futility.
Yeah.
That means, I don't know if you understand the word futility. Do you understand what futility means?
Right. Something
it means something that's worthless, basically,
yeah,
almost.
Right.
You know, futility. Okay. And it says all creation was made subject to futility, not willingly, but by him who subjected the same in hope. And the one who subjected the same in hope was God. And I'll tell you, I'll tell you what I believe he was trying to tell you there. I believe that he lowered, the Spirit of God came in man. He lowered man down into a lower realm so that man could realize what the higher realm was all about. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this. Who understands poverty more than a poor person? Rich people that have been rich their whole life, they don't have a clue what you went through. They haven't got a clue what you or me or normal people go through.
That's right.
Because they've never had to go through that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, anything they wanted, they were able to buy it or do it or whatever, you know, because the money they had and the privilege they had. Well, the thing about it is that Scripture says rich, and he actually gave me a poem about this, and I will read, I'll share a poem with you.
Yes.
Rich was he, yet poor he became. And that's Scripture there. Rich was he, yet poor he became, for he loved you so much that he even bore your shame. For not only did he die upon Calvary's tree, but he left the splendor of heaven to set all captives free. The sacrifice he made was one without compare, for he left the glory of heaven, his love for all to share. And you ask, oh, how does this wondrous gift apply to even me? For he brought you from the realms of death unto that of eternity. And you ask, oh, how do I receive this gift? For the answer is simple, you see. For if by faith you'll humble your heart, you'll receive peace and harmony. And that's we begin to see the real riches. You know, the real riches is being content in whatsoever state we're in, and following the leading of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. You know, really rich people in the natural, they spend 90% of their time trying to hang on to it.
That's right.
So it don't take wings and fly away. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So, but anyway, I hope that's made some sense to you about the soul. You know, the man was made a living soul. It doesn't say he was made a living spirit. He was made a living soul.
That's right.
That's why when we read 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it says, howbeit that which was natural came first. Natural.
Yeah.
Natural.
Yes.
That's right. That which was spiritual came second.
Okay.
And boy, I can preach you a sermon on the firstborn son and the secondborn son. I mean, I have preached those sermons before.
Wow.
There's tons of scriptures concerning that. And really, if you realize what it says in Romans the 8th chapter again,
yeah,
it says he was the firstborn among many brethren. So, according to the way Scripture goes, who's going to get the main inheritance? The firstborn son or the secondborn son? The secondborn son. Remember what happened with Jacob?
That's right.
His brother was born first.
Yes, first, yeah.
And what did Jacob have a hold of when his brother came out of the womb?
His leg.
He had to hold his heel.
Oh, his heel.
Okay. He had to hold his heel. He was trying to pull him back in there.
Okay.
He wanted to be first, but he wasn't.
Okay.
And there's a scripture that says, the first will be last, and the last will be first.
And the sons of Joseph as well.
Same thing, see? Yeah. That's the whole thing there, see?
Yeah.
Secondborn son, you know.
Okay.
With the prophets of Israel, you had Elijah.
Uh-huh.
Elijah. And Elisha.
Okay.
And what did Elisha say to Elijah? Elijah told him, says, well, I'm going to go over here. And Elisha said, no, I'm going with you. No, you go over by the prophets over here. No, master, I'm going with you.
Okay.
And Elisha got kind of upset with Elisha. The different,
give me
the
alone.
Second. He basically was saying, why you keep following me? And he said, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of your ministry.
Okay.
Double portion, okay?
That's big.
Yeah, think about that. And why did he want the double portion?
Yeah.
And what happened? When he said, if you see me when I'm taken up, you'll have it. And he did see him when he was taken up.
Amen.
And the mantle, which is a type of the authority,
yeah,
fell off of Elijah onto Elisha. Okay. Jesus said, these works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. Double portion.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you a double portion.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He said, Father, the glory you've given to me, I've given it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. Well, what was the glory he had with God before the world was? He was God. He was the fullness of God. He was that. He came as a man so that we could believe that as a man, we could ascend into being a son of God. You know, okay?
Yeah, I actually never understood the Trinity. The Trinity, it just kind of like, you know, they were explaining, it makes sense, but the Holy Spirit will tell me that that's not mm-hmm. necessarily true, because God is one.
And see, that a lot of the Jews will tell you God's one.
Yes.
That's why they won't really receive Jesus. But what Jesus came to, he came to reveal
yes.
the Father in flesh,
exactly.
The fullness of the Father.
I read something this morning preparing for this that said Jesus was the conversation of God.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, God eternally has been talking, but he longed to
yeah.
have mm-hmm. to speak.
In the Gospel of John,
yeah.
in the beginning was the Word,
mm-hmm.
The word there for is the word logos.
Okay.
And the word was with God, and the word was God. And it goes on and says, you know, baby, it tells you everything was made, was he was, without him nothing was made that was made. In him is life, and the life is, you know, it goes on, you know. But anyway, what the word, the definition the word gave me for logos is, in the beginning was the thoughts, the intentions, and the purposes of God. Okay? Now your thoughts, your intentions, and your purposes, what is that? That's you.
That's me.
That's who you are.
Yeah.
That's what you that's what you're gonna accomplish. That's that. Your thoughts, intentions, and purposes. And that's what the Lord gave me as a definition for logos. The thoughts, the intentions, and the purposes of God. In the beginning was that. And that was made flesh and dwelt among us. The thoughts, the intentions, and the purposes of God. What did he come to reveal to us? His thoughts, his intentions, and his purposes for us, who and what we are in him. See, in Romans the 8th chapter, there's in the J.B. Phillips, there's a scripture in there where it says that creation could not see reality, not because it chooses to be blind, but because it had been so limited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the epistles of John, in the 3rd chapter, it says, I'm not quoting it very good. I'm probably not going to quote it exactly right. But in the J.B. Phillips, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, it talks about that. But it basically says, I'm trying to think how it puts it. It puts it like this. It says that if reality were to break forth, we should be just like him.
Exactly.
Okay. What are the most popular TV shows on TV right now are called what?
Reality.
Yeah. The things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. So that tells you that we're getting very close to the reality of God really beginning to break forth. It's going to break forth, and it's going to break forth where?
In us.
It's going to break forth in us. And as it breaks forth in us, then we're going to have to help bring other people into the reality of God, see? And religion has kind of fell short in this area.
That's right.
Because they've tried to put God in a box. You can't put him in a box.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, if you do this, God will do that. If you do this, God will do... Mm-hmm. No. God is God. He can do anything he wants to do, you know? And you know, but
I think they also try to put you back under the law.
Back under the law.
When we are free from the law.
And we're free from the law. And the thing about it is, Scripture says he took the handwriting of ordinances that were against us. Well, what was the handwriting of ordinances?
The law.
Handwriting of ordinances that were against us, and he nailed them to the tree. And what does Scripture say about a person that's nailed to a tree?
Cursed
is a man that's nailed to the tree. So if he took the handwriting of ordinances that were against us and didn't nail them to the tree, what does that tell you about the law? It was a curse. The reason it was a curse was because you can't keep it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Try as hard as you might, you can't keep it. But what he really wants you to do is not have laws out here. He said there's coming a day when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. When he says the house of Israel, he's not talking about just Israel over there.
Right.
He's talking about you.
Exactly.
Your spiritual Israel. And he said, and I'll write my laws where at? In their hearts and in their minds, and their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. And that's why as you go along, if you do something you aren't supposed to do, which we all tend to do that sometimes, you know, right away, the Spirit of God will bring a little conviction into your heart.
Yeah.
And right away, if you say something you shouldn't have said or something else, if you do what's right, usually most of the time, he'll have to go back and make you go back and apologize to somebody or say, I'm sorry, I really shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't the right right attitude or whatever. But that's where them laws in your hearts and your mind, that's where they need to be, not written out here. As long as they're written out here, you ain't going to be able to keep them. And when they're written in here,
yes,
it becomes a part of you. But I hope that's made some sense to you. And I mean, my goodness, I could sit here and talk to you all day about all these different scriptures, but really that's part of what you can lose your consciousness. And in that one scripture where he talks about every man's works will be tried as it was by fire. The wood and hay stubble in your life's gonna be burned up. Only the precious will remain. The only thing precious in you is really the presence of God inside of you. That's going to remain. And he also talked about turning people over in the flesh. Why? That the spirit would saved. See?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Like I say, you know, there's a lot there. And I know I've told you a lot of things today.
Yeah.
Go listen to it on the internet.
I'll go back.
Get the CD and listen to it over and over. If you got a question, ask it. You know.
That's another question.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of recommendation. So this is it's amazing to be here. And this is, I can say, it's authentic treasure.
Yeah.
So you cannot found anywhere around the world to listen this authentic word of God.
Yeah.
So everything, it's like mixed by something that's not original. Everywhere.
Well, let me say this. Everything I told you is scripture.
Yeah. That is,
And a lot of people will say, well, Oscar, why do you, every time you speak, do you mainly just speak about scripture? And the reason that I do is because that's what Jesus did.
Exactly.
That's what Jesus did.
Yes.
When he spoke to them, he spoke about scripture.
Yes.
He said this day, When he started his ministry, as far as Israel was concerned, he went in and he picked up the book and began to read from the book of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, the Lord gave me a tremendous sermon on that one time. But anyway, he began to read from the book of Isaiah. And he only read so far and he stopped. He didn't read it all. He just stopped. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. But the rest of it wasn't fulfilled yet. And guess who has to fulfill the rest of it?
Mm.
We do. We do.
Yeah. So
I mean,
to finish my recommendation, it can be possible to have more time to discuss about the Word of God. So it can be, I think it would be to keep the authentic of the Word of God.
Yeah.
So we need to know more about the Word of God.
Yeah.
To know from the original Word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, for today, there are many, many Bibles. So the people translate the Bible to use the Google. So we don't have original the word. So please, you can go think about that. So
well,
I know to live here in America, it's hard.
Yeah.
So I know that.
Time,
so we have
time is
the schedule like that, family. If you can think about that.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
First of all, when you go into studying the Word of God in the Scriptures, go in there as a little child.
Okay.
Go in there with the attitude of, Lord, I don't know nothing.
Yes.
I don't know nothing.
Man.
And all of the past things that I've learned, I'm going to just kind of lay them down. I want you to teach me. The Holy Spirit was sent to do what? Lead you and guide you into all truth.
Yes.
Okay. The things that I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit revealed those things to me over a period of a lot of years, you know. And I am not the most educated person in the world. My English is not the greatest in the world. In the natural, I would be the least likely to get up and tell you about Greek and Hebrew. But the Lord uses me to do that. That's because I can't get puffed up in it because I'm not smart enough to figure all this stuff out. And I know I'm not. But when the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, then it don't count on you. He says he hides these things from the wise and the prudent, and he reveals them unto babes. It says his strength is made perfect in our what? Weakness. You know, and we can't glory in ourselves, you know, because we just ain't worthy of glorying in ourselves. You know what I mean? We're not smart enough, we're not strong enough to do any of these things. But it depends on His Spirit inside of us to do all this stuff. And the revelation that God gives you, you know, He will bring it to you a little bit at a time, line upon line, precept upon precept. You guys know the scriptures. I know you do, because some of the questions that you ask, you've read them and you know. But a lot of times, when God gives you an overview of things and begins to put them together, oh my God, it makes so much, it's so plain. It's simple. But the real educated people out there, they can't grasp that because it's not according to their doctrines and it's not according to their little box that they're trying to put God in. And He won't fit in that little box.
Robert, is there a request in what you were talking about, more time to study the Word?
I think it was
like getting together.
Right.
Well, we could do that.
Trying to know, I guess, if that is possible, we can find maybe another hour within a week or something.
We could do that.
I mean, you know, I've said to people, you know, we could have more meetings if they wanted to have more meetings.
Okay.
And I've never gotten a lot of response about, yeah, let's have more meetings.
Yeah, oh, well, you know what I mean? We have the hungry hearts.
You guys are hungry. You're hungry.
Yeah.
And you know what?
We are.
If you're a preacher or a teacher,
yes,
you love that when people are hungry because that pulls it out of you, see?
Yeah.
The things that I just told you,
yes.
I've learned these things over a period of the past 50 years.
Yes.
You know, I didn't learn it all at once, but God began to show me this and show me that and show me that. And one thing that I found, I've never had to go back and apologize for anything that God has ever shown me.
Yes.
It all fits together.
Exactly.
You know, and I will tell you this, out on the table out there, the sermon that I preached last Sunday about the hem of His garment, mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
I told some people if they wanted it, I would print it out, and it's laying out there. So if you want to get one of those and read it,
okay.
If they're not gone, I only did about seven of them because only a couple people said they wanted them.
Okay.
We used to have, way back, a Wednesday night men's Bible study.
Yeah, we did.
And, you know, that way the women could go on about their business. You wouldn't have to load up the whole family.
Yeah, I was going to ask, why just men's?
Oh.
Well, no. And to be honest with you, women need to hear these things,
right,
too.
Right.
They do. They do. They need
but
to
if
hear
you
it
go over it at home, I know you're sitting there with your whole family.
Yeah.
When you go over it and you more or less share it. I'm not saying that the women are less.
Wow.
I'm saying that on a Tuesday night, they've probably got more to do.
Well, I guess we're going to have to get out there because it's all after. Yeah, okay.
God's word.
People out there will be mad at us for not coming out.
Well,
I'd be glad to sit down with you guys anytime.
This is a really good time. It is.
Every little, all those things that bring life to your life. Just,
yes.
Yeah.
I've never been anywhere like this before.
Neither have any of us.
Yeah.